Hello and welcome to Pondering Pauper. My name is Allie Kies, aka Sadan Raken on Magic Online. We're going to revive this podcast and do some deck deep dives, try to get you a little bit more information about the sweetest brews in the metagame. And one of them just sort of piqued my interest, so that's what's bringing this back. And that happens to be Mono Red Tron. Three words that I don't think anybody ever put together outside of Rolling Thunder Fireball Tron. But I have with me today Gavin, aka Floyza, who is the creator of Mono Red Tron. Welcome. How's it going, man?
Yeah, pretty good. Good to be on.
Thank you for meeting up with me. So yeah, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about how long you've been playing Pauper, what got you into Magic, that kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, my name's Gavin. I go by Floyz on MTTO. So yeah, I guess I first started playing MTTO a bit after I got into Modern. I was playing a little bit of MTT Arena, but like it didn't have Modern on it, and the like priority system was kind of messed up, I guess. So and I heard about MTTO, so I decided to try it out. I didn't want to like rebuy my Modern deck because I was pretty broke. So I saw this Pauper format, and yeah, I decided to try that out. My first deck that I played in Pauper was actually Mono Black Control.
Nice.
Yeah, I didn't actually do very well with it, which might be it's probably to be expected. So I ended up taking a bit of a break from Pauper and MTTO, but I got back into it about when Dimir Terror was pretty big. I couldn't afford Snuff Out, so I was playing Mono Blue Terror. And I managed to get a couple 5-0s and ninth place in a qualifier. So
oh, wow.
It gave me enough to not have to worry about running out of tickets or anything.
Yeah, that always feels good. I happen to do pretty well in a couple of showcase qualifiers and just have been running off that since then. Which is kind of funny. I was like almost on no bank whatsoever. And then I got a trophy and then another trophy. And then all of a sudden I was like, okay, we're free rolling. This is sweet.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's like for me.
Yeah, I think that's awesome in Pauper because you can get into it cheap and then you can kind of learn the format and then you can actually start to go infinite on Magic Online.
Yeah. Yeah. After that, I mostly swapped to playing Cogates for a while. Just slowly doing 5-0s and stuff. Since then, I've mostly been just trying out a bunch of different decks.
So what caused you to want to try to build this Mono Red Tron? You're a mid-range gamer at heart, and you just thought, what can I do here?
Yeah, well, it's actually, so I'm a big fan of M. Hayashi's decks. He has his, like, Mono Red mid-range Modern deck.
That's cool.
So, basically, the idea was trying to do something like that in Pauper, because generally there hasn't been like a red mid-range deck in Pauper. But I guess the big gap between the Modern and Pauper there is that Pauper doesn't really have any good like utility lands, like man lands or anything like that. So I was thinking, like, what's the best colorless land that has like extra stuff added? So, and I thought, wait, it's just Urza's Tower.
That's true.
Yeah, so yeah, that's basically the idea for the deck. It's playing like a bunch of controlling like lightning bolts and breath weapons and stuff, and then eventually use the Tron lands to just close out the game with Rolling Thunders, Self Assemblers, or whatever.
So when you first had the idea to build it, did you just like go in trophy first time, or what happened there?
So my first build, it wasn't a trophy first time. My first build had Lembuses instead of boarding parties, actually.
Oh.
I ran my first league with that, and I got 3-2, which is respectable enough, but I felt like I wasn't able to actually apply enough pressure in a lot of games. Often I didn't have enough stuff to actually do with my mana.
So how many times did you try before you came upon the iteration that you rolled a trophy with then?
So actually, right after I added those boarding parties, my second league was a 5-0.
Wow, that's crazy. A new brew, yeah, just like, yeah, was rolling right through people with Rolling Thunder.
Yeah.
So did you, then you actually got a trophy and then like two more the next day, right? Were you playing a ton of leagues, or did you just have a really high win rate for a short period of time?
What happened is my next league was that I played the next day was a 3-2. Mm-hmm. But then the day after that, I actually got two 5-0s that day. Just 5-0, 3-2, and then another 5-0 right after.
That's so wild.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 80% win rate with Mono Red Tron.
Well, with the brew, too, is really impressive. And I don't think anybody saw it coming. So
yeah, I didn't either.
So walk me through the list. We've got 18 lands, 7 of them are mountain. You've got one Smoldering Crater, which is the red cycle land that you can cycle for 2 mana, which you can fetch off expedition map, basically making your expedition map not a dead card. Then one of the things that people always balk at is that you've got 3 mine, 3 power plant, and 4 tower. So you want to give your stance on that?
Yeah. So so since this is a deck that's trying to, like, it's basically trying to beat the fast, aggressive decks like Glitters and Mono Red Synth. So you're really trying to go play your Lightning Bolts, play your Volcanic Spites early on. In most matchups, I don't really care too much about hitting Tron until, like, turn 5 or later. So, yeah.
Tron is kind of a removal spell pile until you eventually get the stuff. So is that why you picked 3-3-4?
Yeah, I mean, the idea was kind of the same as like the mono blue Tron decks in modern. It's kind of like Tron is a secondary plan to add value.
Yeah, one of the things that you said in the Discord was that at some point the Tron lands become 2-for-1s, like you're making 2 land drops at once.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come up with that idea? Because I never heard that before.
Yeah, I think I heard someone saying that somewhere. I don't remember where, but Urza's Tower at it's like effectively works like 3 lands. It's just free mana.
It's pretty sick. So the rest of the deck, you've just got like all 1-drop, 2-drop removal spells, and then the sweepers. Then boarding party is kind of silly when you actually boarding party into a Rolling Thunder. But other than that, it seems to work out pretty good. And then the deck For creatures, you've got four Oliphants, which allows you to go down on lands and also have a big creature to attack in with. Self-Assembler is a 4-for-1, basically. Then Crimson Fleet Commodore to hold and get card advantage, because it's not like you're playing Reckless Impulse in this deck. And then Filigree Familiar, which is kind of like a stall card. The original thing that you trophied with had Magmatic Sinkhole as well, which is a Delve 5 damage card. So is any of those things that you've been changing around or that you wanted to point out, like why you were using them?
So, Magmatic Sinkhole was kind of a card to try to like deal with some things like Mirror Enforcer and Glitters, for example. Glitters is a pretty good matchup, but you don't really have any recourse to a Glitters on a Mirror Enforcer. So,
but
it's not very good against the other matchups, the other aggro matchups, because it doesn't come online before like turn 4 or something. So I haven't really been running those very much. Filigree Familiar is kind of a funny card. It's not like it doesn't do any one thing very good, but like it helps to hold the monarchy. It helps to it's really good against edicts, and it helps to stabilize against the red decks. So it kind of rounds stuff out pretty well. Although I've been cutting down on those a little bit. Like in my most recent list, I've been usually running about 2 of those.
Okay.
One
of the things that I was like, I picked up the deck for a video on my YouTube, and I decided to bring in Firebolt and Lembas. Like, what do you think of those cards in the deck?
So Firebolt's a card that I was testing when I was trying to tune the deck before I was playing in leagues in the tournament practice room. But it can be really strong, but I felt like a lot of the time instant speed matters like a ton against Glitters, especially. So playing it instead of the instant speed ones can
that makes sense. That can bite you in the butt for sure.
Yeah. But Lembas, I really do like running at least a few Lembas. I cut them entirely from my first list at first, but I think that running at least a couple is definitely a good idea because, the life gain that they afford you late into the game is actually pretty substantial, when you recycle them through your deck and stuff.
Yeah, that can really crush somebody when you just keep Lembasing over and over. It's like really, really good versus Mono Red once you stabilize and then you just keep looping them. So in the more recent decks, we are seeing Mono Red. Like, I saw a trophy right now, the most recent one on the 23rd of January. So how does that make you feel that people are taking the deck that you created and top fouring the challenge, making trophies, iterating on it?
Yeah, it's really cool. So this is my first actually like decent brew. So I didn't expect it to be particularly good, so it was really surprising in a good way to see people trying out my decks, my deck, like making YouTube videos about it and stuff.
Really cool. I know I'm a little bit late to the to getting a podcast out about it, but it was certainly the talk of the town for a little while here, and hopefully it'll keep going. People are pretty stoked on it, that's for sure. Were there other things that you tried to brew? Like, what have you been working on?
Well, I haven't really tried to create much. I was planning to put together a Black Tron list, kind of in the vein of this. Apaz did a video about a deck like that about a week ago. The advantage of that is you have a lot of, like, you have the best card advantage in engine in the format with deadly disputes and stuff. So being able to, it's easier to use a ton of mana like that.
Yeah.
But
you sort of roll out of like having the good removal spells because you'd have to play like Defile or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Snuff Out, I guess, would probably be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the big thing that red has for like a mid-range Tron deck is that I don't think there's any other like huge bomb with colorless mana other than Rolling Thunder.
Yeah, the best part about Rolling Thunder is you just like things are going okay for the opponent, but you just point it at their face and the game is over.
Yeah.
I love that. So where are you located in the world? Where are you playing from?
I'm over kind of close to the West Coast.
Oh, nice.
The USA.
Cool.
Yeah.
And are you in school or working?
I just recently graduated from high school, so I'm just taking a bit of a year break or so.
Oh, but, nice.
Yep.
Man, you're making a name for yourself early, so you have to keep crushing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So yeah. You started playing Pauper because Modern was too expensive. And then have you been playing any other formats at all?
I did get, with some of my winnings from playing Pauper, I did get my Modern deck that I have in paper on MTGO. It's actually Merfolk.
Oh, cool.
But at this point, I kind of enjoy playing Pauper more than Modern, so I haven't really gotten much use out of it.
Yeah, it feels like Modern changes way too rapidly for me. Every set, something else crazy is happening, and I used to play a lot of Giftstorm, and that's basically not possible now, and just so many free spells, it's very confusing. But I love the simplicity of Pauper, I guess, although some things tend to overrun it.
Yeah.
So one of the things that people always ask about is, but how do I sideboard? So you're interested in it, would you be okay with talking through like the top few decks, how to sideboard?
Yeah, sure.
So do you want to pick up your current most recent list or something else?
Let's see. Well, my current list is, well, I could just run through the differences between my current list and my last 5-0 real quick, and then I could get into the sideboarding.
Okay.
Okay, so let me pull it up real quick.
Go to your list. Computer, then. Make it easy. So I'm assuming that you're probably changing the Pirate Spell Bomb for a Ghost Fire, or is that still going to be Pirate Spell Bombs?
Yeah, I've been trying out Ghost Fires in the sideboard. Yeah.
And do you want to explain why you had Pirate Spell Bomb in the first place?
Yeah, so Pirate Spell Bomb is basically just for Crimson Acolyte. Like, just basically for glitters, because usually post sideboard, you're the control deck, the games go long, they generally will draw into a Crimson Acolyte, and then it's very difficult to win the game
right,
without some way of removing it.
And it's kind of neat that it cycles. But Ghostfire, we were talking about, which is 2 in a red for a colorless, is like Devoid or something, that will deal 3 damage to any target. Just pull it up so I don't talk out of my butt.
Yeah, and the big advantage of that is it can kill Guardian of the Guild Pact as well.
Yeah, which is very huge. It just happens to be colorless. It's not Devoid, not the same set. But killing Guardian of the Guild Pact is also pretty big for this deck, I think.
Yeah.
And getting through Strands, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, you can bring those in addition, in any matchup where you want the extra removal spells, too.
Nice. So did you happen to get your list up?
Yeah.
All right, so
all right.
What are the changes that you're making from your most recent 5.0, which was on January 11th?
So let's see. So the main, So one thing is that I'm actually replacing the fiery cannonades with breath weapons, and that's just like, it can, breath weapon can kill Crimson Fleet Commodore, but it also deals with whatever that Red Goblin's name is.
I feel like that's more important at that point. Like not killing Tomb Raider is so problematic.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I'll get rid of my Commodore. I still have the Monarchy. So that's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. I'm running two Lembuses main deck over cutting one Lightning Bolt and cutting the Sinkholes, and also adding in a 19th land.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so I did want to go down on the removal spells a little bit, because I've been playing against so many control type decks, like other anti-red, anti-glitters decks. And I decided to go down on a Lightning Bolt over a Volcanic Spite. I'm not certain that's right, but
well,
drawing the card off of Volcanic Spite can be pretty good.
One of the things we didn't touch about was Volcanic Spite is one in a red to deal 3 damage to target creature, planeswalker, or battle. It's a functional reprint of
Fire Prophecy.
Did you choose it because it has more text?
Yeah. They're totally identical in Pauper, though.
It just has more
print battle.
It also has a... I'm not sure if like this is a better art, because I really like the eye on the other one, but this one is like a flying ship getting smashed by a volcano, so that's kind of sweet. But
yeah,
it has this really cool text where it says you can put a card from your hand on the bottom of your library, and then if you do, you draw a card, so you basically just cycle one of the cards in your hand. And do you want to explain the trick that you have with the deck?
Yeah, so the big thing is you can, if you draw a second Self-Assembler, you can just bottom it, and it basically is just a free card draw.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, and then it's also useful to like just bottom X removal spells against decks where you don't care about your removal spells.
And since you're barely shuffling, it probably doesn't matter or bite you that much.
Yeah.
So what was the land that you put in? A mountain or an Urza's Mine or a power plant?
It was an Urza's power plant, yeah.
Nice. So I saw another person, the most recent actually trophy with a deck, is playing 19 lands and they're playing 4 each Tron land. So I think people are experimenting with that as well. One person's also playing Return to Nature over Cast into the Fire in the sideboard with a green mountain, the green-red mountain duel. Seems a little bit sketchy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I guess it's doable because you have 8 ways to search it up. You really have 9 ways to access it. But it's still a tap land, which isn't great.
Yeah, having some way to kill enchantment is cool, though.
What is your sideboard? Is it still... So are you just swapping Ghostfire over Pirate Spellbomb, or is it the same otherwise?
I'm also running 3 relics now, for random graveyard combo decks and
the dredge decks.
Yeah. Yeah, I lost to that deck twice. And I'm running one less cast into the fire and one less ghost fire, like subbing the Pirate's Holmes for ghost fires. And one less fiery cannonade, just to fit in the 3 relics.
All right. So assuming that someone has put that together, if you're playing against Burn, which is like, we're going to say Cold Delta Burn pretty much, there's not really anybody that's playing like Pinger Burn. Every deck is playing some sort of go-wide strategy. So what is your general plan there? And what is your sideboard advice or like opening hands type situation? What are you looking for?
So, yeah, what you want in that matchup is you don't care too much about Tron, because as long as you get to the late game, you'll probably be able to manage with whatever threats you can throw down. But so I'm looking for a red source, a removal spell or two, and ideally a breath weapon, because that's by far the best card in the deck, or Fiery Cannonade, I mean, because that's by far the best card in the deck against them.
Well, breath weapon now, right? You were on Fiery Cannonade.
Oh, right. Yeah, breath weapon now. I'm mixing things up a little. But...
All good.
Yeah, and then Candy Trail and Filigree Familiar, and then Mr. All. Good to have, but not as important.
Do you ever use Rolling Thunder to wipe their board, or not often? Because it's kind of odd that they would be wide while you're not dead.
I have been able to do that before, like just Rolling Thunder X equals 3 to kill Kolvatha tokens. It doesn't come up that often, but it's something that happens anyways.
Would you say that the way that you generally win the game is with boarding party, or by randomly Rolling Thundering somebody? Just in general, not versus red specifically.
Yeah, in general. I'd say it's about 50-50.
Hmm.
Yeah. Self-assemblers and boarding parties and Rolling Thunder about 50-50.
So one person recommended Avarax instead of boarding party. Have you considered that? Because Avarax is a hasty creature that also searches up itself, just like self-assembler.
Right. Yeah, that was the first creature I looked at before self-assembler. But I don't think it really uses your colorless mana very well. Like, you can't play it on turn 4 after Tron, for example. With self-assembler, you can play a self-assembler on turn 4 and still hold up, like, Breath Weapon or Lightning Bolt or whatever. But Avarak, if you want to... Yeah, it's really hard to be able to do anything with your extra colorless mana.
That makes sense. So it's kind of a give and take, and that's why you're playing Boarding Party instead?
Yeah.
How often do you get a good hit off of Boarding Party?
If I line it up so my opponent has a creature on the board ahead of time, then it's the majority of the time for sure. The only bad hits are Expedition Map, particularly if you've already grabbed your Smoldering Crater, or, of course, Rolling Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if your opponent doesn't have a creature on the battlefield, then it hits significantly less.
Do you ever play Candy Trail first and then Boarding Party? That probably doesn't come off that often, huh? I think I Candy Trailed into a Boarding Party and still hit Rolling Thunder.
Yeah. Yeah, that is something you can do for sure.
So versus red, I know I sidebarred a bit. What would you be siding in? Just the cannonades? I mean, just the breath weapons?
So since I cut the breath weapon in the side, I'm siding in 3 casts into the fires, because just you don't always have the breath weapons. Being able to kill 2 of the Kolvatha tokens is still pretty good.
And what are you swapping it out for? The Rolling Thunder?
I'm swapping out 1 Rolling Thunder and 4 Crimson Fleet Commodores. Because,
right.
Yeah. And then I'm adding in 2 Ghost Fires as just extra removal spells to take up those slots.
Okay, that makes sense. So then... against Jeskai Affinity, what are we looking at? What's the plan? It's just removal pile?
Yeah, the main thing you have to be careful about with this matchup is you never want to go Shields Down on a kill spell. Because, you go Shields Down for 1 turn and you have 0 way of removing all the Glitter's creature, unless it's post-sideboard and you have cast into the fire.
Right, and they could just put it on a Thraven Inspector. Then you're dead.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, the big thing with this matchup is keep a hand with ideally multiple kill spells, and just try to keep making land drops.
Right.
And eventually you can use a breath weapon or Rolling Thunder to clean up all their chaff, and you should have pretty good control of the game by then.
Nice. Mono red control, drawn, mid-range.
Yep.
So what are we bringing in post-board? We know four casts of the fire.
Or three with, because I'm minus one for a relic.
Confused.
So I'm bringing in, So I'm bringing in three casts of the fire and three ghost fire. And I usually take out the four Crimson Fleet Commodores and I think two Rolling Thunders, because that's usually a pretty late game spell, and I'm pretty focused on trying to survive the early game.
Yeah, that
although
makes sense.
Although you can maybe shave a boarding party instead of the second Rolling Thunder.
If you were playing against blue-white glitters, would you bring in the Red Blast or no?
I haven't before. I think trying to fight over their card advantage spells probably isn't the best. Like, I'd rather just try to focus on dealing with their big creatures and then just using a breath weapon to sweep up everything else.
That makes sense. I was just wondering if you wanted to protect your own spells against something like a Hydro Blast or a Metallic Rebuke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that might be a good idea, but yeah, I haven't played against too much blue-white, just mostly Jeskai.
Alright. So, let's talk about Terror, and then, just like mono-blue or blue-black Terror. And then we'll go into the blue X Terror control.
Right. Yeah, so Terror is one of this deck's worst matchups, I think, because just Lightning Bolt, trying to kill a Talarian Terror with Lightning Bolt, you're not having a good time. You have a lot of all your whole removal suite's pretty worthless, so you just kind of have to focus on trying to get Tron early and like try to flood the board with Soul Assemblers or get a Monarch on the table or something like that.
That makes sense. You just have to get on the table and do stuff. And then post board, you're bringing in the Red Blast and your relics.
Yep.
Hope the relic carries a little while.
Yeah. And then just, cut the removal spells.
Right, okay. So basically all four Volcanic Spite is the easiest cut, and then the trimming on Rolling Thunder until you have enough slots to bring in.
Yeah, well, probably...
I mean, not Rolling Thunder, on Lightning Bolt, I mean. Oh, Breath Weapon, yeah, probably is better. It only cleans up Mystic tokens, right? Rolling Thunder can actually kill a few big 5/5s.
Yeah, I usually leave in one Breath Weapon just, like, to be able to clean up Mystic tokens, but... Yeah, down four Volcanic Spite and two Breath Weapons and a Bolt or something like that.
Oh, nice. So, what about the Dimir or the Blue-Red Terror Control decks? How do you feel about those ones?
So, Blue-Red Terror Control is a significantly worse matchup, I think, than Blue-Black, because the removal suite just works a lot better. Like snuff outs and snuff outs help you to pressure their life total a lot more, and cast downs are a lot more difficult to cast than lightning bolts. But it's pretty bad because this deck doesn't really have particularly good like card selection and stuff.
Right.
And they have like counter spells and stuff to do with your really strong plays. And so you're definitely trying to be the beatdown in this matchup to try to kill them before they can lock down the game with counter spells and stuff.
Man. So would you just be on the same Red Blast and Relic plan?
I'm not as certain about Relic because they're not really trying to turbo out a terror,
mm-hmm.
but it's, I don't know, it's probably still better than, it might still be better than like some of the removal spells that you have.
Yeah. Seems like it's sometimes in those matchups you have to be on the 8 red blast plan, but then they still just have like a Commodore or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of comes down to you being able to resolve your Monarch and keep their stuff off the table, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they even have the Monarchy to contest your Monarchy. So, yeah, definitely not an easy matchup to win.
So then, I think we probably just want to talk about Gardens and Cogate, and then that's good for me, I think. If other people are interested, they can get in touch with you, but how do you feel about your Gardens matchup?
So Gardens is actually, I think, very good because, our creatures, our removal spells are pretty bad, but our creatures all generate value on entering the battlefield and stuff, but also, especially pre-side sideboard, they have basically no way of dealing with the Rolling Thunder.
Yeah, that's so like, awesome.
yeah, you get down to like turn 12, your opponent has killed all your creatures, then end up throwing the back roads, and then you just Rolling Thunder for 15.
Like nice Crypt Rats.
Yeah.
That feels good. Do you have anything that you would even swap post-board against them?
I don't think so. Well, I think I might trade out like breath weapons for relics, just like mostly just to cycle them because breath weapon's pretty bad. And you can turn off Blood Fountain, which can be pretty good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, the main thing post sideboard that you have to be careful of is generally they will side in Duress and Weather the Storm, so Rolling Thunder gets a lot weaker.
Right. They can take it out of your hand because you're just gonna be stuck there for a while.
But yeah.
Maybe you could use Volcanic Spite to put it on the bottom and then just never draw it again.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely with Duress, the important thing is to not be too greedy with Rolling Thunder. Like, yeah, you can, because yeah, a hypothetical Rolling Thunder for 15 is worse than a guaranteed Rolling Thunder for 10.
Yeah, absolutely. So then when I played this deck, I felt like it was impossible to beat Cogates. How do you feel about Cogates?
I think I've only played against it once, and I lost pretty bad. With Flaring Pain post-sideboard, it's maybe a little better, but then they have all, like, they bring in, like, 5 Blue Elemental Blasts or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. it's a pretty abysmal matchup.
So what are the sideboard cards that you think work best against the deck? Do you think just like a pile of blue blasts? Because if at some point you get self-assemblers going, but blue blast stops the boarding party, which seems like the scariest threat to me, and all the removal, of course, and the red blast. Yep. If I'm playing familiars, do I just max out red blast and see what happens? Probably, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, blue blast is definitely the biggest thing against the deck. Yeah, just counters most everything.
I got really
except
confident.
For self-assembler.
Yeah. I got really confident and didn't bring in any blue blasts, and then I just got hammered by a bunch of boarding parties, and I felt pretty stupid.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Life gain is surprisingly good against the deck. Well, maybe not so surprisingly because you have a burn plan with Rolling Thunder, but yeah, if you're playing a, like, lower deck, like a more controlled deck, life gain is pretty important.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, Weather the Storm's pretty good.
That's really awesome that you're able to help everybody out here with all the different sideboarding for this deck. If somebody picks it up, they might not just totally flounder like the first time I did.
Yeah, hopefully.
I felt like I did okay, but it was pretty fun. I think this is the kind of deck that speaks to people, where it's like, you're going to kill stuff and you're going to attack, and then eventually you're going to go straight face. And that's really
fun. Yeah.
It's just really sweet to play it like that.
Yeah, there's not many things quite as fun as Rolling Thunder for 20.
Yeah. I've been playing a decent amount of Cold Oath the Burn with the sticker burn kind of deck, and every time you just happen to, you've got your last burn spell and you wait for it and you get it, go straight face, and you're just like, yes, finally.
Yeah.
It's cool. So one of the things I like to ask people that come on the podcast is, what's your favorite deck and that you've ever played, and what's your favorite card?
Well, I think my favorite deck that I've ever played is the Mono Blue Delver deck that I played with. I actually, the thing that I did is I used to play two Rush of Knowledge. So I would just like wait until turn six and go Spire Golem, and then Rush of Knowledge, holding up Spell Pierce, draw six cards, drop a couple more Spire Golems, and then just take over the game against any sort of controly deck.
Yeah, Rush of Knowledge is pretty sick. I think I might have played against you a couple times on that then, or I played against a couple people playing Mono Blue with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I played you a couple times.
That's cool. So is Rush of Knowledge your favorite card, or Delver?
I think Rush of Knowledge is my favorite card. Yeah.
Have you ever played any of the Rush of Knowledge combo decks?
I haven't, but it's funny. Actually, earlier today, I was just thinking that I should really try out like that, like Thistlebrand with Energy Tap or something?
Yeah, Energy Tap taps your creature to make colorless mana equal to the mana cost. Then use Burnt Offering to sacrifice your creature to make red and black in any mix for the mana cost.
Yeah.
And then you just keep going. And Rush of Knowledge and stuff.
Seven.
But it's pretty sweet in like a mono blue or a blue black red affinity deck, where you're just dropping Mirror Enforcers and then energy tapping them because they're zero cost. And then you can use your one blue mana to play a Terror and then Blood Fountain everything back and then do it again. It's really fun. But it's just too slow. It's really sweet though.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not super great into Reckless Bushwhacker called out the Rebirth.
Yeah, I was just solitarying it for a very long time, just like attacking for 75 on turn 4 and turn 5 with like Fist of Flame or something, which was fun, but I always want to do these really sweet combo decks, but they just don't ever land on turn 3 or 4, or they get banned.
Right, yeah.
So is there anything else that you wanted to bring up about the deck, or?
I guess one big thing is that Canyon Trail is actually a pretty, it doesn't look like much, but it really fills out the curve a lot. Like, play it turn one, hold up a removal spell, or crack it turn two, gain life. It gives the deck some amount of card selection. So that's actually very valuable. But and one other thing is that there is an upcoming card that I'm planning on trying out. I don't remember
answers?
What it's called. Yes, Demand Answers. Yeah, I think that could be something pretty good for the deck. Get some amount of card advantage that doesn't cost 6 mana.
Right. Do you think that you would use anything to sacrifice to it, or you would just plan on looting or rummaging?
I think I'd be adding some more Lemnises is the main thing, but and then you could sacrifice for Grief Familiars too. That's not a super strong play, but
right. One of the things that I was considering in the deck is like, should you be on 4 Canyon Trail, 4 Lembas, just for card selection? Or is the maximum amount of removal spells worth it? Like, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure.
From the 5-0 deck that you had.
There's a lot of wiggle room there.
Yeah. From the 5-0 deck that you had three filigree familiars that could maybe be lemmases, but and then you like cut some sinkholes. It's just, it gets you so much value later. And then if you have your whole thing of like Candy Trail Limbus and the demand answers, then you have a lot of card draw and card selection. But then you kind of have to like go down on so much of the important actually pieces of the deck. Maybe it's just too much to actually accomplish it that way. Like you can't just rely on self-assembler beats.
Sadly.
But it might be hilarious to build a deck that the only win condition is Rolling Thunder, and you just play like four campfires and removal spells and like Lembas and stuff, and then you just eventually Rolling Thunder your opponent for lethal. Like that would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, plus you can recycle your self-assemblers from the graveyard with campfire.
Yeah. That doesn't sound awesome. Do it.
I don't know. Sounds good to me.
I think I'll maybe.
I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah. Well, the what was the person who you liked their decks?
M. Hayashi.
So his mono red deck was a mono red control with all mountains and a bunch of campfires to just keep recycling all of his burn. So eventually it would just be like, I'm going to burn your creatures, I'm going to recycle my deck, and then I'm going to burn your face. And I just thought that was so cool. Because eventually you have like 20 lands in play, and you just keep, everything is, every spell you draw is an action spell, which is really cool.
Yeah, obtaining Reckless Impulses and like Experimental Synthesizers. Yeah, pretty cool.
So my plan for when the next set comes out is to try to make a mono red storm deck with demand answers, but we'll see if that's any good. It'll probably be funny for a minute at least.
Yeah, demand answers sacrificing experimental synthesizer seems like a pretty strong play to me.
Yeah, especially if they have the extra mana.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, and probably going to head out here. So thank you so much for your insight on Mono Red Tron. Again, congratulations on making this deck, which is a brew from you that got three trophies in a couple of days, fourth place in a Pauper Challenge, multiple other people trophying, tons of people are hyped on it and taking it to challenges, their local FNMs. I've seen it in multiple events on Goldfish, so that's a really cool accomplishment. So congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for having me.
And if anybody wants to get in touch with you or me, they can check us on the Familiars Discord, which I'll link in the description. They can check me out on YouTube and Patreon and all that good stuff. And we will wish you a good night or a good morning wherever you are. And we'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody.